and welcome back to another episode of the Funny Girl Podcast. I'm very, very excited because this week we have the one and only Rachel Samples, who identifies as a lollygagging golden retriever and is the master of the TikTok roundup every week, which we will get into. But Rachel, thank you so much for coming on the pod.
Thank you. Wow. That's the best intro I've ever had. Truly.
Every time we walk into a restaurant or a bar, I just like put it on like a little button for you. So you just click it and they're like, we don't have to ask more questions. We know, we know who we're around now. We're around a hero.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I should put that in my Instagram bio, the golden retriever piece.
I think so. I literally was joking with Rachel before. I found because we both went to the same school, and I found like an interview and I saw all these different questions, and that was the thing that stuck out to me. Because I feel like when you meet people and you find out that someone either identifies as a golden retriever or somebody else tells them that they give golden retriever energy, like for me, I trust that person with my life. Like, you could tell me a fact and I'm like, whatever you say, it is the truth for me at this point. So when I saw that, I was like, this definitely tracks, especially with the, I don't want to say the personality that you give off on your Instagram, because it's just you. Like, you know how certain creators will kind of play into like a certain role or a certain kind of like characteristic or trait. Like, I just feel like, unless I'm mistaken, of course, like it just feels like you're just very authentically you. And I think that's why it's been working so well. And you've gotten such a big like support system and following and things like that, which does kind of lead me into the first thing I wanted to talk with you about, which was, how did you know that you wanted to kind of pursue, whether it was entertainment or comedy? Because I know that's not your full job that of what you're doing, but I know we briefly spoke about that you took classes in the past. So basically, like, how did you know you were funny? Like, how did you know that this might be something that could work for you in the future?
Wow. Yeah, it's also, thank you for that golden retriever comment. I think golden retrievers either skew like in a toxic positivity way where it can go kind of south, but I'm happy you see it in such a positive light. But
it's so true. I've never thought of it like that, but that's kind of the point.
We're just like, yeah, we're here to smile. Resting smile face is a chronic issue. When did I first think I was funny? I don't know if there was a specific instance. I still think a lot of sort of like the being creative bone I have is from being an only child and needing to entertain myself. So I was really just playing and making jokes for an audience of one. And if I thought that was funny, good enough. Maybe mom and dad would laugh, but there's a lot of just, yeah, being solo and kind of playing and things like that. And actually my best friend still to this day, Aliki, is a stand-up comic now too. We met in third grade. And it was one of those really quick meetings where I said a joke and she really laughed hard. And I was like, oh, you're kind of on a different like wavelength.
I trust you.
Yeah. You know what's up. We're good and we're going to be good forever. So even to this day, like for any sort of jokes or things like that, if it gets her to cackle, I'm like, okay, we're in a good spot.
She's like kind of your like raider. You're like, okay, like it depends on how hard the laugh is. That's how much I'll put effort into it.
Yeah, because you know the varying levels of laugh and you're like, okay, this pass.
And so with when you – so that's such a – like I didn't realize that you guys had been friends as long as you have, because I've seen her, so, you know, her posts and everything. She's absolutely hilarious. So it's probably really nice to have someone that you're really close with and you're on the same wavelength and have the same humor as. So then you can kind of – when you want to create, whether it's like sketches or kind of talk and just workshop comedy, like you said, it's a soundboard of someone that you really trust. Is that something that you felt like worked out in terms of like the way that you started posting? Because was it around the pandemic that you started posting, or were you doing it prior to then?
Yeah, I've always been making videos, but it was on like a really shitty Sony camcorder in middle school that I don't know if those, it wasn't even like DVDs. It was like the mini ones. Like, what even?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, like Lord knows if those exist somewhere in my parents' house, but it was those. And then messing around with YouTube, like in high school. And that is one regret where I'm like, I should have just stuck with that. That was like 2007, 2008 YouTube. Man, missed opportunity. But videos have always been something that I've done really inconsistently, but always focused on like the sketch lane of things. And it was pandemic, a little bit earlier than that, that I really was like, I should try to consistently make videos. And it took until maybe like 2021. I'm sure it's like every TikTok story was like, you had one that blew up and you were like, oh, okay, serotonin levels are high. I think I could keep doing this. What's another bit? You just kind of keep going from there. So
it gives you, I feel like, a certain level of validation that we try not to tell ourselves that we need. But in a world of like comedy and when you're performing, you don't want to be performing to an empty audience, right? At the end of the day, even what you said that I really resonate with, it's like when you were an only child, you had your parents. And even with your friend, it's like, if you made at least one person laugh, that's enough for you to be like, all right, let's keep this gig going. But exactly. When you kind of get to a point where you're, especially in such a like saturated environment that we're in now, where like YouTube is, like I'll see like a Hips Don't Lie, Shakira probably has like 100 billion views on YouTube, things like that. It's like even like a video from 10 years ago that no one would know about has so many views. It's just, you don't really, I don't know, it kind of will take away the excitement that you might have for it. So it must have been really cool for you when you were like, you knew that you had that like comedy bone, if you will, but then to be able to actually post something and see a response to it, was it something where in that moment you're like, I need to start thinking all these different things to do? Or was it something where you're like, all right, let me take a second and kind of see how I can navigate this newfound like viral video?
Yeah, it definitely wasn't like a take a second. It was like, keep going faster. And just have fun with it. I think that's also a big thing too, because it's really easy to get, even like before one really blows up, or it'll never blow up the same way if you do the bit again. It never, ever, ever will. Just to keep going with it and really try to go back to even the way your brain thought as a kid, where you're like, did I think this was funny? And really, that's the win at the end of the day. Like, am I, you know, proud of this, whatever? Because the algorithm will just kick your ass around town and it, you know, you'll just make excuses. I was talking to a friend the other day who also like has a big following on TikTok and does sketch stuff. And I was like saying to him, I was like sometimes I can gaslight myself enough to be like, well, it was like kind of raining when I posted, so I think that like impacted the viewership on the East Coast. Like, stop.
So many people though. So many people do that.
Yeah. It's just,
you're like, the vibe wasn't really right that day and I knew before I posted.
Yeah, like Mercury wasn't retrograde. That's why that only got 4 views. So that was
It's crazy though. Like I hear the creators that I've interviewed in the past, and there's like a few people that I've interviewed that are like specifically TikTok like centric. That's kind of like their bread and butter. And it's the same thing across the board, which is kind of like, just really enjoy what you're posting and creating, because at the bare minimum, if it doesn't maybe do what you like, the algorithm's like a monster, I feel like, because I'll see videos that I'm like, this is hilarious. And I'll see it might not have that many videos. And then you'll have like a TikTok video of a girl like eating cereal with music in the background. It has like 8 billion views. And I'm like, this stresses me out.
Yeah.
And I, just to backtrack really quick, what was the first video that kind of hit? Was it with Aliki or was it something that you did solo?
It was solo. It was, I had said to a friend, I kept thinking about the Michelle Branch song Everywhere. And that kicks off with, turn it inside out so I can see. And I said to a friend, I was like, it'd be so funny if I had a reversible jacket and could like mess around with like when you show your reversible jacket to Michelle Branch. And she turned around the car and she's like, I'm moving and I just found one. I'll give it to you. And it was like, boom, next day I just shot it. It's like 8 seconds long. And it was one of those that like really popped on TikTok and really, really popped on Instagram, because I think a little bit older millennial crowd was happy to revisit Michelle Branch, and she reposted it too. So it was like a fangirl
moment. That's so huge. Yeah. How soon after did she like acknowledge or see the post? Was it like as you kind of gained more followers, or was it in the beginning?
It was in the beginning, and it was like,
oh my God.
I would need to look it up. Maybe I'll send it afterward. But I was DMing with Michelle Branch because she said, so many people have sent this to me today. Ha ha. And I like, in the moment, I was a little opportunistic, and I was like, wait, do you want to be in a part two? Like, you just record something and I'll edit it. And she didn't respond to that, but she was a good sport about, like, she was just, like, laughing and shared it.
Honestly, like, you never know if you don't ask, though. I feel like there's so many people out there that I see collaborations of. I'm like, wow, really? This? Because that's the thing about social media. It's like, you're getting right to the person. Like, yeah. And I think what I really love, like, your humor is right up my alley. Like, we have very similar humor. Like, everything that you post, like, I don't really laugh out loud a lot. Not to sound like I'm like, it takes a lot for me to laugh. No, there's just like something will make you chuckle, smile. But like the stuff you post, I think like I'm a little younger than you, but it's still like the same, like the Michelle Branch thing. Like, it just like hit so hard. So yeah. There's something to be said about like, there's such a big audience of people that even if it doesn't hit them, the people that it does, it really hits them. Yeah. And mm-hmm. So I feel like the fact that it was being sent to her and sent around, like that's kind of the beauty of it. Like, yeah. I always think, like, I kind of compare it to, like, I'm a big, like, pop punk girl myself, like, which is very unrelated, but, like, I love, like, Mayday Parade and, like, All Time Low and just kind of, like, bands that people are, like, who? I don't know who, like, I'll think about, like, when I was in middle school, like, looking out a window, like, when it was raining and I was, like, I've never dated anyone and I'm, like, my heart's been broken. Yes. And I'll send the video or share it with people and they're, like, haha, I don't really understand what you're saying. But the few people that do know what you're talking about are, like, you get such a bigger like reaction out of it. So I feel like for you, that must have been really funny. Like the fact that it happened that quick must have been like, mm-hmm. you like didn't even know how to like handle it probably. Yeah. Just like I would have DM'd her and said the same shit and be like, hey, so like name a time and a place, girly. We're best friends now. When do you want to do that part two?
Exactly. Yeah. There like has to be such a factor of me. Of whoever's looking at it, like, oh, I've done that. I met that person. I've thought that thing, or that's a really clever spin on something that I'm familiar with. Like, people need to feel like they're in on the joke.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also, it goes back to like whatever resonates with you would have to resonate with at least a few other people, mm-hmm. because I think that's the most important like angle. And I know you mentioned that you kind of like hit the ground running, like when you posted that, you're like, what's next? What did that look like for you? Were you just recording a lot of videos or were you kind of like were you thinking like, how can I get the next big thing? Or was it more like, I really want to like focus on my comedy as a whole?
Yeah, it was really video focused. I think this is the first time in 2 years of really being consistent with the video stuff that I've thought more broadly. Like I mentioned to you, like, wanting to explore stand-up, what is a live show, and really getting back to that. But the only itch that I feel like I could scratch at that time was like, let me just focus on like drilling down on these videos and trying to create a format out of like original sounds. And, you know, music was really like, at least in the OG days, and still is now, to your point about like a girl eating cereal with music behind her getting 800,000 views. There's a game with like the music and the original sounds factor of it all. So trying to balance original ideas that don't lean on that, that are more sketch or character focused,
right.
Like bring a little bit more like pride at the end of the day. And then there's like the original ones where it's just like original sound ones where you're like, all right, what is the clever take on this that still feels like it's mine and not just like doing a trend regurgitation right. type deal.
Yeah, that makes sense. I was talking to someone who was kind of making a joke similar to that, where they're like, there have been videos that I've spent literally like a day and a half on like a script and this and that, and it'll get like 60 views, and then they'll do like some dumb like tortilla slap like challenge or something, and it gets like 5 million views, and it's sometimes, I can imagine sometimes it's a little bit frustrating, right?
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of the beauty and the bad part of the way that the platforms work. Do you see a big difference with your, I don't want to use the word engagement, but more like, cause I know you said that there's like it skews more toward like a certain age group that kind of like really understands like your humor. Do you feel like with Instagram versus TikTok, you notice like a big difference in the kind of like communication and response that you get, or like people tagging and things like that? Or is it really similar? Because I feel like TikTok is younger, but I feel like everyone's on TikTok. People just sometimes don't admit that they're on TikTok.
Yeah. I feel like I think my comments on TikTok right now are definitely like an older crowd. Just I can tell by the way they're written and things like that.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to see how certain creative ideas will do well on both platforms. Some will do great on Instagram. Some will do well on TikTok. And Instagram's like, huh? But I did one the other day or the other week that was like messing around in the pool. You know how we would all do like Washington? But like I'm saying we, like you, like us, like our peers did that. And that like didn't blow up on TikTok. And I was like, huh. Like I guess that's a little bit of an older crowd. I thought everybody did that, but who knows? But
that's a good example. Like that is a good example. Cause that shit, like, I think I saw that you were on like a trip, right?
And yeah,
I was loose. Cause I don't know who didn't do that our age. I don't know when it stopped.
Like, yes. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. But I was like, I see a lot of pool stuff and like pool bits and like little kids at the pool, whatever. But like, yeah, that's just like a core memory slash still semi do, like still do that.
I was like, I'm not going to say I haven't done that in the last year, realistically, right. I'm in like my late 20s, but it's interesting to see that.
Yeah. Like imagine like a video, all the girls on a bachelorette or something at like a Vegas pool day party and to do like a jump cut and they're all doing that. That's unbelievable.
Like, and it's also like, again, everyone has their own type of person, whatever. Like, you just want to be friends with those people. Like, I'm going on a bachelorette in 2 weeks and I might just like get, you know, like force them all against their will to just do that in like a circle. Like, no one's communicating with each other. I'm like, I also think there's something to be said about the whole, obviously, the generational differences, right? Like, right. I feel like I'm always seeing people talk about like me when I was 13, and like me when I was 13, I had like a sugar lips top on with like braces and like a fake bag, and like was going to Limited 2 and listening to like, you know, like Low and starting to go to bar. It was like Bar and Bat Mitzvah season, and I thought I was slaying that shit. And then I look now, and these people, they look like they're like 30 years old. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of already the change that we have. And that's what's the beauty of like, they're seeing what we kind of like, what our humor is and what we experienced at a younger age. You know what I mean? And it's right. Like, goes back to, it's like, you're obviously going to base it off of like Rachel's experience when she was younger. Like, you're not going to like do what you think the current kids of these times are doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're so good at makeup, to your point. And I think it's because they grew up with phones, so like there's more of an aesthetic and you see more just...
They have makeup tutorials. We were just kind of like, I was just freeballing it. I don't know. I went to Sephora and just kind of was like, I would just take whatever product. I was really going to Target, let's be real. Sephora I went to, but I was going to...
it was Target. And when I say Target, I mean CVS. And it was just like, best of luck. Like...
Yeah, but I think that's what it is. Like, I'll see people and I'm like, oh my God, they'll be 17 years old. And there's something to be said about like the whole Kardashian Jenner era. That's a whole different conversation, but like,
yeah,
we didn't really have that. I don't really know who we had. I can't even think of who I had in terms of I really liked like Demi Lovato at that time. Like she wasn't really doing any pivotal makeup products. Like, we just didn't have influencers on YouTube.
Yeah, and also if you think about Demi Lovato at that time, that's like Camp Rock-ish time. So like that's our beauty standard, like and fashion style, you know, and you're like, yeah.
Like with her bangs and like Selena Gomez. I remember when like Wizards of Waverly Place was like really like, that was my shit. And like when she started wearing colored skinny jeans, I was like, this bitch knows style, you know, she knows style. So I would wear really skinny jeans, but it didn't hit the same way. I think it's just the same way, like you get inspired by stuff. Mm-hmm. It's always weird growing up and then looking back at your childhood and just realizing like all that stuff we've been learning about, you know, I don't know if it was like Nickelodeon, but all the stuff we've been hearing about, like when, like how like Demi Lovato was like coked out all the Camp Rocks. Like,
that
rattles my cages.
I know. I remember the like wake up call. Someone was like, oh yeah, Laguna Beach, those guys were wasted the whole time. And I was like, no, they weren't. No, that's who they are. Like, I'm so like, no, Steven literally has a red cup with him the entire show. Like,
and you're like, no, this is just his personality. Like, he's not acting out for any other reason because he's really hurt.
Yeah, he was just hurt at the fashion show for the earthquake or whatever that was. Yeah.
You're like, this is still stuck. That's like someone telling you that like Santa Claus wasn't real at a younger age. You're like, just let me
Yeah.
Let me have my joy right now.
Oh, that's a good story for you, actually, was, and also I guess just a sign of being like a little like sheltered only child, but I believed like way too late, like eighth grade late. Like, and Aliki, best friend, again, is this just her podcast bringing her up again? She called my mom to be like, hey, like, do you want me to tell her? Do you want to say it? Because this is just like, there was an instance at school where someone was just like, yeah, fake like Santa. And I'm like, yeah, fake like Santa. Like, he's the realest of the real. Like, so my mom ended up telling me. Yeah, but it was like such a good friend move to like just check in and be like, do you want me to say something or not?
Also, yeah. Like, creds to your parents, to be honest. The fact that they kept that going for that long is really impressive.
Yeah. I never really think about it from their POV. I just guess, like, it never really came up a lot. Like,
I also think, it's, like let the kid have it. You know, there's so many other things of life that we have to, like, let our joy be reevaluated. Like, if you think that Santa's coming to town. But then it's a problem is when you're in school, you're like, that's really weird that you'd say that. Like,
yeah.
It's a month away. I don't know why you'd bring this up.
Yeah.
It sounds like you and her have, like, the most, like, a love story friendship of just, like, the way. Because you're both in LA now, right? Isn't she also in LA?
Yeah. So that was also a really big game changer. I feel like at the time of, like, trying to think, like, 2-ish years ago, really settling on let's be consistent with video stuff. So we started meeting weekly. So she came from Chicago, and then she's been in LA for about 2 years now. And there was a brief window where she lived down the street from me. So the simulation was at full speed ahead to have her that close. Now we're, 15 minutes away and we're being dramatic. But it was such a game changer to have a creative partner and carving out scheduled creative time that you have to do, even if you're tired, like you're not kind of mentally in it. Like, nope, this is just like, there's no expectations. This is just like playtime. This is assigned playtime. It's been really helpful to have that.
Yeah. And there's something to be said about accountability. Like I've been saying that a lot. Like, I think that if, I don't know, just having someone else who has the same kind of passion and humor as you, and it can be like, hey, are we meeting up this week? Like, that makes such a difference, you know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is so awesome that it just worked out the way it did, because when you were in college, I'm kind of jumping back a little bit, but when you were in college, did you know that you, like, clearly comedy has just been a part of just like who you are, but there's people who are funny who just, you know, our lawyer and they're funny and they, you know, do shit and they're still like, haha, the funniest of the group. Like, was there a time in college when you were thinking about career paths that you were like, is there a way that I can implement this? Or was there any classes or groups that you were in that you were doing that kind of felt like, let me see if I can scratch this itch?
Yeah, definitely. I was in Zamboni, which is, I hope it's still around at Syracuse, but it was an improv group. And it was very instantly like, it was a nice break from, I guess, other social circles. Like, you have like your whatever, like dorm people. I was in a sorority. So it's like, oh, these are people who are all coming together with this same agenda, sort of same quirky energy. And we did shows and things like that. And that was such a great experience. So that was like definitely scratching that itch and making some videos here and there. Okay. But I think, I think you just have it drilled into your head from the college environment that it's like, career, this is the path, that's what your major is, you go here, you do this, that thing that makes you so happy is really hard to carve out time for, even as a hobby, let alone as maybe a potential career path.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like the whole like be realistic thought probably. You know, you have so many people being like, yeah, like you're really good at this thing, or like singing or acting, or you know, being in an improv group or things like that. But it's like, but like what will actually make you money, especially a place that I feel like where we went to school, and especially I think honestly I'll speak for myself, like the bubble of Greek life, it just felt very like all things that it's kind of like checking things off a list almost, like I very different to you and very embarrassing. Like I, when Pitch Perfect came out, like I genuinely wanted to be in an a cappella group after that. And like, I looked at Syracuse and I saw all the different, and it's pretty legit there, by the way, there's a lot of a cappella groups there.
Oh, we probably had that. Those. I went to all the shows. We were probably at the same shows.
Yeah, 100%. Like, yeah. It's like a beautiful thing to see, like, the way that people are able to mesh together. And I don't know, I'm just a big creative person, right? But then it's like going back home, and my parents were never like putting it down or being negative, but it was more just like, how realistic would be pursuing your dreams as a musician or a singer get you, unless you were in like the really specific program that we had. So that's always been, I think, a big thing that people will always really struggle with, because at the end of the day, like, being a creative is more of the, I think, like, riskier path. But if there's a way where you're able to like have a career that uses your talents and that you still have passion in, and then on the side do something that makes you happy, it kind of seems like that is a little bit of what had happened with you, unless I'm mistaken, just with I'm not sure what your full job is and if you want to go into that, but like, if that ever like coincided with being able to like then start doing your sketches and meeting up with your friend and like building a community and kind of doing that thing, like the differences between the two sides, like what that looked like.
Yeah,
like going out of college into the real world.
Yeah. It's like, I think it had like different chapters of being able to like really focus on the side passion, like comedy stuff. But more recently, and I credit it a lot, honestly, I mean, the work from home lifestyle with my full-time job, and I work in advertising, which fortunately leans into being creative and coming up with ideas. And we do, of course, a ton of stuff on social and TikTok. So there's a lot of like nice overlap there. But there's like times where you have an idea strike and you're like, I have 8 minutes in between this call. I guess I could like bang out that scene really quick. Okay, I'm just gonna like film it real quick. Like, just trying to blend both worlds. Like, it's tough to table an idea when you're like, the energy's there for it.
Yes, 100%.
As of last week, I actually put in my 2 weeks at work because I'm going to just focus on the content creation and comedy stuff.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Congrats!
Yeah.
That's so exciting, Rachel. Yes. Holy shit.
Yeah. I'm stoked. So.
Wait, that's huge. Yeah. This is going to be, that's really, really exciting for you. Holy crap.
Yeah.
Now you guys are just like full time, like make your schedule and just kind of like do it on your own terms. And like, it's like, that's the beauty of, COVID was crazy, but the beauty of you being able to work from home and the kind of see like what worked and what didn't work for you.
Yeah. So I'm really excited. Really excited. Yeah. It's an energy thing. Like, you got to do it doesn't matter if you're making videos, if you're writing, if you're a painter, whatever it is, that's your creative thing. When you feel like you're in the moment, need to do it, you need to be able to do it. And it's a battle. It's an endurance
100%
battle. Yeah.
And it's an energetic balance, right? Not to sound like a freaking like yoga teacher, but I just feel like it's a little bit of, can you get yourself to do that? Yes. But is that something that really will help and benefit you and better you down the line? Like, who knows? Like, that's kind of like what I was briefly saying earlier. Like, I'm so lucky that I'm working at a place where I'm absolutely working there to pay my bills, and I really care about the people I work with and everything. But as someone who moved out here from New York to kind of figure out what part of comedy, whether it was behind the screen, managing that, like comics, like whatever, like it's all a bit trial and error. And then to be able to have meshed the two together, like, I feel very, very lucky. But I also do totally get what you're saying, where it's like, would it be cool if I could use like the 7 days of a week to just like pivot and try something different or like reevaluate? Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely. I think that that's really, really big. So honestly, like, very, very like proud of you. That's like inspirational. I think a lot of people could take like a page out of your book, because I think it's very easy to tell yourself not to do the thing. And that's just like where the movement happens, you know? So like, congrats, seriously.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah. It just got to this is like the least eloquently way to put this, but it was like a shit or get off the pot moment of like, we're just going to keep piecemeal posting. And then I formalized some like goals of like, I just want to like DM other creators and maybe someone will get a coffee and like just pick their brain. And like, it takes those conversations too, where it's people who are full-time creators or, you know, actors who are now on a strike and also creating stuff. Yeah. Like, there's just so many different scenarios. So it's interesting to sort of just like learn from people who are also in it. And you're like, oh yeah, there's only learning that comes from this. So
exactly. And like, could you have even imagined when your first video like went viral the way it did to just a few years later, kind of being able to pursue this and make this full time, you know, like that's just the beauty of it all working out. And also just the beauty of like connection. When mm-hmm. you were making videos and kind of starting to do comedy, do you feel like you were able to, were you like connecting with more people to create content with them? Or was it more, cause I know you just said that you're primarily yeah. focusing on videos, right? But I think it's like step by step. And then you kind of learn what you do and don't like, was there like a group of people that you kind of were able to meet or get closer with in the past? And then kind of leading into your new future, like, are there different projects? I know you briefly said stand up, but are there different kind of things that you want to work on?
Yeah, definitely different things I want to work on. I'd say like from the community angle, probably in the last couple months has really been like formally like chatting with people, meeting up for coffee, actually like shooting sketches with other people. Like,
yeah.
That's just like amazing. Like just the best. And you're like, oh, like something's like the same way that my brain's like kind of clicking. I can see yours is clicking too. And like, let's make this happen. And it's super fun. And then in terms of other projects, I really want to do stand up. I mentioned, but also like figuring out a live show. I saw a really great one woman show at Dynasty Typewriter. I like all those little theaters in LA.
I love like just, Dynasty. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The best.
Yeah. And just figuring out what that is. I think it's like what I said to you earlier, like you just take a step back and you're like, this is fantastic. I love seeing people do this. I can see the energy payoff that they get for themselves, only for themselves. And you're just like, let's do this. Let's figure it out.
It's like, it inspires you. You're like, I want to, and it also is kind of cool. Cause it's like, even as adults, it's like, I want to be friends with you guys. Like you see people that are performing and you're like, I totally get what you're experiencing right now. And I think that's something that I really have been feeling the past roughly year or so. Cause I used to work for a comedian and I would kind of see like that high that he would get performing mm-hmm. and doing stand up and the interaction with the audience. And I think it's like a beautiful thing. Cause you can put your, I don't want to use a Love Island reference, but you can put your eggs in multiple baskets.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's really, really nice because you can like kind of, at least what I'm trying to do, which, you know, we're very different points of our lives. Everyone has a very different journey. But for me, it's like there's such a sense of community with doing an improv group, even doing the podcast. Like I get to meet people and really ask deeper questions that you wouldn't if you just bumped into them at a mutual friend's event or at a work setting. Like you get to really learn more about them. And it's like, in a way it helps both sides. Cause it's like, if you ever think of something that like might be like, oh, I think Rachel would be really interested in this. I've noticed in the comedy community specifically that everyone's really, really open to, I don't want to use the word like helping, but just kind of like opening, like just like giving more experience and like options of things that like they might think you'd be interested in, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know if you've gone to the Elysian before.
It's on my list. I need to like nail down a show there.
It's incredible. But no, I'll text you the information. But on Wednesdays they have an open mic there that I like have talked about on this podcast a million times, but it's an open mic where basically real comics, like comics that tour, I shouldn't say real comics, but comics that have toured and like are paid to be there mm-hmm. perform. And then in between every comic, that's like every quote unquote real comic, is an open mic kind of like raffle. Like, so you put your name in a basket and it's like someone that you might've been like looking up to for a while or following, or who's been doing stand up and touring through like whether it's LA or the US will like perform. And then you just have people who might've never gotten on stage before. And it's like so intimidating, but it's so inspiring because you're like, I can do it, you know? And it's like, once you get on stage once and you just like record yourself, it just kind of becomes like, I just need to do it again and again and again. And goes to what you were saying earlier about your friend. Like once you build that community of people that do it with you or like want to do it themselves, like it just, you can't really stop, you know? So that's what's really exciting in terms of like resources and things for you to do, because, in a really beautiful way, I think, because of your content creation, your videos and comedy, it's like it gives you that like leg up in terms of like finding people that have a similar comedy as you and then being able to like use that in certain settings like live shows. But you would absolutely kill a live show. I'd love to see that happens whenever that comes to fruition.
Appreciate that. Yeah, I'm psyched. Hopefully, soon. It's like, I'm literally like, my last day is July 28th and it's just like, August, what are we fucking doing? Let's ride. Like, so yeah, I'll hit the ground running.
Did you feel like it was a long time coming for you to want to be pursuing, like, doing comedy full time, or at least I should say, like, entertaining? Or was it a slow, like, was it when you started to see how good the response was with your videos that you're like, wait, I want to make this my job?
Yeah. I think the itch has always been there, even outside of the video stuff. Even, like, I remember, like one act plays in high school and things like that, where I was like, this is, like, I really love this. I really love this. And the improv stuff was so fun. I think it was just, like, figuring out the mechanism to, like, do it consistently. Like, it's a different beast to commit to, you know, going to an improv class every single weekend versus doing a couple videos. Like, it's just, like, it's you know, it's different for everybody, but I think the itch has always been there. It's just figuring out what the hell does that look like.
I know. It's like, it feels so daunting sometimes, but I think it ends up falling into place, like, with that, even the way that this has all worked out the way it has for you now. Like, if you asked yourself 5 years ago, like, how could you have got your foot in the door? Like, you know what I mean? It's just, you can't really prepare or predict it, but it's like, once you start, you know, taking classes, meeting people, doing all that stuff, an opportunity, like, even with me, like, I would have never thought, like, a year ago that I would be able to be producing a monthly show at the place mm-hmm. that I started working at, you know, like, it just kind of slowly helps. And I'm always a big believer in, like, everything happens for a reason. And I think it's like, you know, the future's fucking daunting. It's scary. Everyone's mm-hmm. like, you know, just ride the wave. It's going to be fine. I'm like, I am drowning, actually. I am panicking and I am drowning under this wave right now. But then you look back and you're like, you just have to, like, kind of put your hands up and just be okay with whatever comes about it, you know? Because someone might be like, oh, I'm going to be a sketch comic. Like, that's what I want to do. I know I'm going to be a sketch comic. That's my bread and butter. Like, that's what I'm good at. And then 5 years later, it's like, they might be doing musical comedy and right. being amazing at that and having a huge audience at that. So I think, like, it's hard not to feel like you might want to, like, pigeonhole yourself, like, at least me, you know, because I think that's, like, a hard part of it. Mm-hmm. In terms of inspiration, what are, like, who are, like, comics or, like, what are TV shows or, like, kind of movies? Or I always just like to ask this because it really gives me a very good understanding of kind of, like, the type yeah. of person someone is. Like, I always ask, like, who's a comic you love or what's a TV show that you're obsessed with, so the writing really hits with you, because it's always funny to see people's, like, very unique different answers.
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, even outside of, like, entertainment or even comedians, I feel like I've always had a very, like, funny crew of friends, like, one-uppers, and that just, like, makes you feel like you have to be on your toes, like like, it's just someone sort of teeing up a bit and you're like, we're gonna spend the next 20 to 30 minutes on this bit until it's so dead it'll never ever work again. Like, that's the type of people I like to be with and surround myself with. Comedian wise, I like a lot of people. I mean, I feel like I was definitely in that, and I'm sure you, well, I don't want to assume, but, like, were you, like, religiously reading all the Chelsea Handler books and Bossy Pants? Like, yes. When those came out, like, those were Bible. So a lot of those, like, SNL leading ladies, like Kristen Wiig, all that, I'd like to see Kristen them in more Wiig. Things. They're less stand-up people. Big fan of Mae Martin.
Oh my God, don't get me started. I've talked about May an unhealthy amount on this podcast.
May Martin, personally, like, career path wise, and I can, like, see, I, like, saw my dad's eyes, like, kind of, like, go black when I said this, but I was like, what Little Dickie has done is so impressive to me. Especially because he has the ad agency background, which is where I've been, to then, like, just have some videos that took off, becomes a rapper that's in this comedic space, but also really thoughtful, really good music, and then is on season 3 of his own show that he writes, directs, and stars in, and helps edit every single episode. I'm just like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, you're like, go off, King. Also, like, to think of you, like, Rachel Samples, I'll say it here now, will be the next Little Dickie.
Little Dickie.
Well, it's true, though. It's really fun. Incredible what he does. And again, I think, like, some people, he's someone that I feel like you can either love him or hate him. That's really anyone at the end of the day, though.
Yeah.
But I think I love Dave. The fact that the way that he did that was just absolute art. And, like, It's not the same at all, but there's parallels in terms of how I feel about like Phoebe Waller-Bridge with Fleabag. Yeah. I don't know if you had watched Fleabag, but to take so much of like your personal life or like, you know, maybe make fun of parts of it and things like that, and then have it be like a perfect mix of like mainly comedic, but also like dramatic. Like I think Lil Dicky skewed a little bit more towards comedy and it was about like his music, but there were scenes where you were like up in your feels.
Yeah. A lot of heart.
A lot of heart. And I think that that's always like so inspiring. And I think it's lucky, like you're living in LA now, that that's something that like the resources are so much more out here. And it's like the fact that we get to see all these people perform at all the time. Like May is always performing at the Elysian.
Always. Yeah.
And yeah, it's definitely like really, it's just like really, it gives you more, I just feel more like hopeful in that way, because it's like, you might be in the same class or working with someone who could be like the next whoever, you know, like it could be us, it could be you, but it's like, that's the whole beauty of trying it out. And then I know you said that you originally, you're obviously not from Los Angeles. So what was the push for you to end up moving here? Was it because of work stuff, or was it like you knew down the line you might want to do entertainment?
Yeah. So, well, our college, it sort of splits between New York and LA. If you want to do anything broadly under like communications, even, I'll like take it a step further with entertainment, but I was always in like the camp LA. I did a summer in New York, like an internship deal, but I really, really liked LA when I stayed out here. So that was just the natural progression. It wasn't going into it. Like, I know some friends were really diehard, like talent agency route. This is how I get the development associate role, like that hardcore entertainment. And I always skewed more like social agency, branded content, but a little bit more on the advertising side. So I really didn't know. I always made videos when Snapchat mattered to people who are above the age of 28. I made a lot of Snap videos, like would do like full sketches on Snapchat, which looking back, I'm like, those disappeared after 24 hours. Like, oh yeah, yeah.
You're like, this is silent art. Did you save any of your old content? Like, do you have any saved stuff, or is it more, cause I have like my Snapchat memories from like 7 years ago, which like part of me is like, I don't really want to remember some of the stuff that I'm looking at, but nonetheless.
I think I do. I probably have to go through, but I think I did save some of that stuff.
Because that could be so funny if you have like the archives and it's just all these like really pixelated videos of you just like doing sketches. Yeah. Were you a big Vine user? Did you use Vine at all?
I wasn't. And I feel like that struck at a time where like maybe it was finishing out college that Vine really blew up. But my first job was working with a lot of Vine creators. So like helping build out campaigns where they were in it and things like that. And that was like a firsthand look on like influencer, you know, the influencer economy and how that all worked and like getting to know who that talent was.
Yeah.
And even I remember, he's such a nice guy, this guy, Matt King, who's like huge YouTube presence, has a podcast now, but he was one of those people just had a couple vines really blow up and sort of just rode that wave. And I mean, he's like over a million on Instagram, is like doing his thing. Like, again, he was like an ad agency guy who just made he's funny and like the sweetest dude. And just, yeah.
And it's like all about what you do with, you know, it's kind of like, it's even similar with you with like your videos going viral. It's like kind of like, you could have just done that one and then been like, okay, cool. Like I talked to Michelle Branch, like the sky is the limit. I'm there. And then it's you and so many other people. I think it's kind of like, how can you navigate it to make it like complementary to the life that you want? And I feel like, especially, it sounds like a lot of people like the more like the ad agency world are more creative versus kind of, you know, not to speak to just like representation, but kind of what you were saying earlier, where like it's a little bit more cut and dry. It's more like numbers and everything like that. So there has to be something to be said about like figuring out like, how can I make this work for me? How can I make this happen for me? Mm-hmm. And then I know I'm jumping around a little bit, something from what you said earlier in terms of like your videos and everything. I know you were talking about how like you've met through people, you do your videos with your friends. Do you now have kind of like a schedule for yourself where you're like, I try to post once a week, or is it like whatever comes up? Because I feel like I've been seeing your girlfriend's been in more of your videos these past few months, which, by the way, she is also really funny and like talented. I'm like, okay, like that worked out. I was like, I was just imagining you being like, hey, we're gonna go in the pool and we're gonna do the George Washington goes. But it's like, even like the Emily in Paris sketch that you did, like all of those really worked. Like, how did that kind of come to be as well?
Yeah, I really just asked her. I was like, I have this idea, do you want to do this bit? She was down for, yeah, she has a great attitude about all of them. I will admit that I know I get, and I think a lot of it has to do with I'm filming like in between calls or like just really crunched on time. So I'll like lock into like director mode where I'm like, amazing. Okay, we're going to do it again. Countdown from three. And I need you to kind of give a little bit more of this. Like I'll like fully direct and like feed lines and stuff like that.
Smart.
I mean, yeah, to call back a recent video I posted, like we just need to make sure that we're not like hungry because it'll result in an argument if it's, you know what I mean? But
no hangry vibes or else you might have to take a break. The video ends and you're like, we need to sit in our separate rooms for 30 minutes before.
Yeah, we need to kind of like revisit our tone. But yeah, that's been great. And she's really down for any video concept. I think she even said to me this morning, she was just like, I really want to do more like fashion lifestyle stuff, but I want to be in like your sketches and like whatever. So yeah, it's nice to have sort of built in support there.
Yeah, and it's like good to have like that trust too, I think, right? With like someone who kind of like will understand and see your vision quicker than maybe like someone else would. Cause I feel like that's such an important part, is like having that community. Do you feel like you would want to work with comedians down the line, or do you think you don't really want to? Cause I think it's like a, I don't know, it's a thin line, right? Between like doing not what everyone else is doing, but just like trying to work with other creators for the sake of working with other creators. Mm-hmm. Or do you feel like you like that you're sticking to just like this like specifically what Rachel Samples is posting and doing? Like, you don't want to lose that authenticity, but it's like, would you be open to doing collaborations down the line if it's mainly what, just because of the interactions that they get?
Yeah, I would. I mean, I'm always open to like meeting people and like, you know, spitballing ideas and creative and things like that. I think with the collaboration stuff, it's just like, again, it goes to that original sort of thought of just like, am I psyched to be doing this? Am I proud of this? Even right. Beyond like whatever, like followers or engagement or anything like that. It's just like, am I proud of this like sketch? Is it truly like a, you know, characters interacting with, like, does it feel like it's balanced and everything like that? So those are all considerations, but I'm always down to like collaborate with people who I think are.
It's just if it feels right, it sounds like. If it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's funny that you brought up the one woman show earlier. I feel like that, I mean, I always think about how like overwhelming one woman shows seem. Like, not overwhelming, just like that's a lot of work. Like, yeah. I know our friend JB did, I think it was just, he did
he crushed it.
Like, that's so impressive. Also, so him. Like, he's so well equipped. Like, he's funny. He's a musician. Like, me and him used to sing a lot when I just had moved out here. Me and him did like one or two videos of us singing, like, I don't even know, like the Lumineers or something. But then, like, to see him like on a stage on a toilet, I was like, wow, we ride, dude. You've just made this your thing. It's a beautiful thing because it's like you don't have to rely on anyone else when you're even with like directing or writing your sketch, like your clips. It's like you don't have to really rely on anyone. It's like, if this works for me, this works for me. So in terms of like a one woman show, is that something that you'd rather do when you were thinking of shows, or is it like too early to tell, or you're just kind of more like a variety show of a few different type of things?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure yet. I love the idea of potentially doing a show with Aliki and doing some sketch with characters and things like that, but I'm leaving it open-ended.
See, like, who knows?
Yeah,
because you're at a like, in a cool way, you're like a new chapter is opening up for you right now, because you're like kind of like, once August hits, you're gonna be like, okay, let's see what this means and what this looks like.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then kind of nearing the end of the episode, two questions I always like to ask everyone in the, like, kind of the entertainment world. Some, it resonates more sometimes with stand-ups if they do stand-up, but I say this across the board. Has there ever been a time in your life that you've bombed? Like, I always ask this if it's like, have you bombed on a date, in a job interview, when you tried to make a video that didn't do well, when you met up with someone and did a collaboration? Or usually stand-ups just are like, well, this time when I went to a show, it was absolutely horrible. But is there something that kind of stuck out to you that's like, helped humble you? Because I always try to humanize the people I interview, and I think sometimes it just helps with the listeners to be like, yeah, okay, it's not just me going through this.
Yeah. I mean, in that lineup of it within the comedy world, like I can remember different improv shows where it's just like crickets and you're just like trying to swipe scenes and like, get me out of here. Like the mojo's off going into it and you can yeah. feel it and you're just trying to do your best and like just kind of lob really easy jokes to the audience. I've done so many videos that just like bomb consistently. Yeah. Like I'll like delete them down from TikTok. Like, I was just trying to figure stuff out, but yeah, all the time.
That's the only way you would know. You know, like you wouldn't know yeah. unless you at least tried something and you're like, okay, this might not be. It yeah. goes back to the freaking algorithm though, because sometimes something could be like a 10 out of 10 gold star, but you just, it doesn't reach the eyes that you'd hope it'd reach.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing, like with any of the bombing scenarios, whether it was like a live thing or even like a video concept, it's just like, it's so easy to overcomplicate. It's just like, keep it. Someone said this at work. It's an acronym, KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. Like, that's just the shit that goes far. Like,
wow.
Don't make people think. Just keep it simple. And people can feel like they're part of it. They can understand it. So, right. yeah, plenty of bombing. That's like, well, once a week.
I'm like, I walk out the door and you give me 2 hours and shit happens and I'm like, yep, there it is, there's her, there's the humbling experience of the day, as I like to call it.
Yes.
Yeah. And I always just, again, it's fun because it's like everyone has an experience that has happened that they're like, would love to delete this from my memory forever. That would be super chill. Mm-hmm. But I think it just helps you too, because it's like, that's not all that, this sounds so like dramatic, but it's like, that's not all that you are, right? Like people, I always think about with stand up, like I get so nervous even still when I do open mics and I like, will try new material. And I'm like, if one person laughs, that's enough. But at the end of the day, like people don't really remember the times that you do horrible or the videos that don't do well. Like they remember you for the things that have like affected them in a good, you know, like that have impacted them. Like the set, like if you think about like, I don't even know. Like if you think about Mae Martin, I guess, cause we were talking about them. Like if someone who's seen Mae Martin back when they were doing stuff in Canada, like no one's talking about the times that they were probably bombing or trying new material and it flopped. Like they're talking about like feel good and then constantly that they just did their new special and all that stuff. And I think that's a right. big takeaway for people that me included get like caught up in that kind of like the ego of it and just like, fuck, like, really just shitty today. Like, am I not funny? Like, you know, and mm-hmm. I think that's just kind of like a daily reminder, which yeah. does actually lead me to my last question of the podcast, okay. which is, what is a piece of advice that you've gotten from someone that's really stuck with you, or advice that you have for people that are trying to either navigate a place in the world, whether it's like, you know, entertainment, communications, comedy specific, or just trying to like get themselves out there?
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to act like I read this in a New York Times article because it was absolutely a TikTok. but this woman distilled it so well. She had moved out to LA as a singer, that kind of thing. But anything in the creative field, you are choosing the endurance run. You're not looking for a jog. You're not looking for a walk or a sprint. Like, you chose the endurance. There is no finish line because there is no being the best. Like, you can think of so many comedians who you might think, oh, they're so good, they're the best, they're at the top of their game. But like, there is no, you know, quantifiable metric there. It's all subjective in the creative space. So it's being able to accept that you're on an endurance run and it just is what it is. So you got to keep going, because that's yeah. really the people who make it farther. Or make something really special.
Yeah, that's very, 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 very useful. I always like, it's so funny when I ask everyone and you'll like have someone who has like something their friend said really quickly, like 10 years ago, but it's like the stuff that sticks with you really helps, because I don't know. I just feel like sometimes it's so easy to just kind of like truck through the days and not really think about like something that might like inspire you or keep you going. So to think of it as like, not quantifiable, like everyone's success is different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the biggest thing. And then I just remembered, I wanted to really, really quickly touch upon this before I let you go.
Yeah.
In terms of the TikTok roundups, like what made you, because I look forward to those every week. So what made you like go from posting your videos of specifically Rachel stuff to then doing these roundups? Like what kind of inspired you to like have a platform on Instagram, like showcasing those?
Yeah. Well, I was saving a lot of videos that I thought were really funny from different creators I either followed or people who came up my For You page. And I was like, I should just like, just kind of share these. And so people can see them, like these made me laugh really hard this week. I didn't realize this until the other day. Cause it, you know, like your phone does that like 2 years ago thing, but it's been like 2 years of posting that stuff on Fridays. And it's just a really great way to one, just again, showcase people who I think are really, really creative. And like, just there's some genius stuff out there. And some really silly, silly, stupid stuff out there that still needs to get posted. And second was also a lot of friends at that time didn't have TikTok. So I'm like catering to elder millennials and like people's parents and stuff to post that and just be like, this is the best I've seen on the comedy side of TikTok. Like, here you go. Now people have TikTok, but it's still like a curation of just saving funny stuff I see all week. So
yeah. I remember when like it would go on Instagram Reels, like my friends would show me an Instagram Reel and I'm like, I saw this a month ago on TikTok.
Literally so delayed. It's insane. It's, it's like you're detached from culture. I just, it's wild to me.
Like, it's true. It's true. Okay. Well, no, I was curious because like I look, as someone who literally uses TikTok and Instagram is not the healthiest thing. Like I look at both and sometimes like with your roundups, every couple of like videos or weeks, it'll be some of my favorite videos. And I'm like, this is the stuff that needs to be showcased because it's like, you're doing everyone else a favor who just will not be stubborn enough to just download the app. And it's like, it's also just like a little like refresher for a Friday, you know, kind of it's like a little pick me up. And it's good that it's been 2 years and you didn't notice, instead of it feeling like it's been like not dragging out, but you know, sometimes when you have like, oh, I have to get this done. It's good that you've been like excited about it instead of feeling like it's a little project.
Yeah. It's always fun. Yeah. I've stepped away from like a few, like vacations or calls to do it. So yeah, it all works out.
Like I need 30 minutes. I have really good stuff this week.
I have like programming that needs to happen. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel, for coming on the podcast. Yeah, seriously.
Thank you for having me. This is so cool that you do this and like just great conversation. It's good to like zoom out a little bit and just be like, yeah, a lot of really funny creative people are all going through the same thing. So appreciate you.
Yeah, of course. Of course. I think it helps in a weird way normalize it. And I always try it helps me too selfishly, like take a step back when I'm so focused on things every day and, you know, like trying to just get the next best thing out. So like, it's always really cool to get people from like different space, but yeah, I really appreciate it. For everyone who is listening to this episode, if you go to the bio, I will have Rachel's Instagram and all socials and stuff for you can check out her content if you guys don't already follow her. And please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe. And I will see you guys next week. Bye.